this afternoon. And she's going to tell us about the house she first lived in as an infant.
Yes, I was born at the Fay Homestead at the corner of Jasper Street in West Maine. And at the age of one, I came to my home on East Main Street, which is still occupied by my sister. And I went to school from there to all the grade schools. We were badge pupils. The horse-drawn badge would meet us each morning and take us to our school.
What was the badge?
The badge was a horse-drawn Mr. There was a Mr. Holden that used to drive the badge. He had a pair of horses on a covered wagon, like, and would take us to school and then pick us up in the afternoon. And but from that was in the first grade to high school. In high school, we had to walk to school, and the high school I attended was on School Street, where the veterans' housing is now. And there was also a grammar school there.
Would that be where you went to first grade, too, in the grammar school?
No, the first grade, I went to Harvey Building for the first grade.
Oh. Oh,
and Mrs. Dr. Newton was my first teacher.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
And from there, I went to the Eli Whitney that was built. And then from Eli Whitney, we went to the grammar school, which was on School Street, and then the high school.
Oh,
and we would have Memorial Day exercises in the town hall. We'd all march down with our 2x2 and carry our flags, and they had a regular program in the town hall each Memorial Day. And our graduation was held in the town hall.
Do you remember wearing anything special on Memorial Day?
Well, it was always more or less the type of where there were recitations, and it wasn't on Memorial Day, it was the school
Memorial Day.
Yes, and we sang patriotic songs, had poems, and drills. Sometimes they even had flag drill or something like that. That was the type of patriotism that was shown in the schools at that time. Then in high school, there was even the chemistry room was in the attic, like at the school.
My land. Doing chemistry experiments in an attic.
It would be quite different from the high school they have today.
Do you remember any special teachers that you really liked, or that you really didn't like?
Well, in the grade school, my first teacher was Miss Florence Smith, who later became Dr. Newton's wife. And my second teacher was Miss Sadie Murphy, who lived down here on High Street. And then there was in the third grade was Miss Lena Cummings. Fourth grade was Miss Maddie Fisher. Fifth grade, Fanny Craffy.
Didn't like her.
No. And then there was Miss Alice Gilmore and Miss Maud Gilmore in grammar school. Then in high school we had, who was my superintendent? I can't tell you. Superintendent Holmes was the superintendent. And there was Miss Lizzie Payne, Miss Helen Crow Murphy was a substitute for her. She was going to college at the time. And there was Miss Edith Wilson from Maine. We had a great many teachers from Maine at the time I was in school, because Mr. Grindle became the superintendent after Mr. Holmes. His name was Holmes, I think. And
And quite a few teachers from Maine. I wonder why.
Where they come from, Maine?
Yeah.
Well, they're around. There was a Miss Doris Merrill from Blue Hill, Maine, and a Miss Sargent from Sargentville, I think it was, and Miss Wilson still lives in Belfast, Maine. She's in her 90s, but she's in a nursing home now. And there was a the history teacher, Hart. Miss Hart came from Maine, too. But I suppose Mr. Grindle, being a graduate of University of Maine, I think he was.
But these
so,
were
so he
people
remembered
he had
his
kind of, yeah.
People.
Known from up
yes.
there. And I wondered, because it seems unusual.
Then, but the athletics in the high school consisted of just the football team and the baseball team. That's all they had for athletics.
You didn't have any gymnasium?
No, no gymnasiums. You had a field. That was all there was to it. And then in the lower grades, there was a Miss Ella Fay who taught all the schools the music. She had all the schools from the first grade right through high school. She was the one music teacher. Ella Mariah Fay was the name.
And she'd come around and teach lessons?
Each class. She'd come into each class once a week. And I don't know what the, I can't seem to think who the drawing teacher was. I don't think she was the drawing teacher too. But she was the music teacher even. And she was there a long time because I had her all through high school.
So she was there for your entire school
yeah.
career.
Yeah, for my whole school. Didn't make much of an impression, but then let's see, what else about the schools? We had sewing. We did have the little home economics that we had was just a sewing class. There was a Miss Shaughnessy came from Hopkinton. She came just once a week. And I think it was the fifth, sixth, and seventh grades that she taught. So.
So you did have sewing. I didn't realize they had sewing. Yeah.
And
did the boys have any type of woodworking? Or?
I don't remember that they did.
I wondered what they did while you were in sewing.
Oh. Well, we all stayed in the same room.
Oh, they were right there.
Our class was all, no matter what we were doing, it was all the same room. They didn't separate the classes.
Mm-hmm.
You just moved from one side of the room to the other, maybe. The girls sat on the one side of the room while they did their sewing, and then they had the other, the teacher, room teacher, conducted her class on the other side.
So did you have any classes where they would be, you know, like first and second grade together in one room?
No, every first grade was first grade, all of us. And no two, there'd be an A division and a B division, but it'd be in the same room.
In the same grade.
Mm.
Mm. Can you think of much difference between the schools now and the schools then? Is there anything that stands out in your
mind?
Well,
from what I know of the schools now, I should say there was a great deal of difference in that they have many more subjects. The grade schools, we had a desk and a chair and we were expected to sit in it all day.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't
get up and wander at all.
We had no moving around at all.
And the desks
we had no school libraries. There were no school libraries.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher always read the Bible the first thing in the morning, and we saluted the flag, and we, you know, what was the song that we always sang? In one room, I remember, we always sang the song, Father, We Thank Thee for the Night, for the morning break. And then there was one about the sun coming up. I can't remember what that was. And then in Miss Maddie Fisher's room, we kept a chart of all the birds we saw on the way to school. And we always watched for the flowers too. The flowers the same. And you, it was quite an honor to get your name on the board to have been the first one to see the wild geranium or the wild oaks or the robin. And she always kept the Farmer's Almanac record of the so many minutes of daylight.
Oh,
how
yes.
it increased.
Mm-hmm.
And like that. I doubt if it's done in the school today.
Yeah, as far as the record of the birds and the flowers, that's a great idea, though. Because you learn a lot from that.
And, of course, and the teacher always read us a story. I don't know whether you do that today or not.
Yeah.
Like, I remember one of the teachers reading this Penrod and the Horatio Alger stories.
Oh, yeah.
In the, in the upper grades, they used to read those books.
Part of a story, some of the story every day,
yes,
like a continuing
thing.
Continuing thing. Yeah, I like to do that with my class. A few minutes every day.
I don't know. And then we always had heroes if there was somebody important, why they read to us. There was one class they used to read the Greek mythology. Yeah, studied that too. And of course, there was always Latin taught in the high school now, is it now?
Yeah, they still do have Latin.
I don't
imagine as many people take it.
Yeah, this Miss Lizzie Payne, that was her department, the Latin. And I guess she was a hard teacher, but she was a very fair teacher.
And would everyone take Latin?
No,
or
not
just
everyone. No. I didn't take it. It was the college course people that took it, but and I took the commercial course myself. But
that's good. Could you tell us anything about the type of work your family did?
Oh, my family?
Some of the
early
jobs.
My own family. My father's family. My father's family was a. His father was a farmer. And he died when my dad was only 18. And he left his wife with 10 children. And
10 children.
There were
a big farm to take care
this
of.
This one.
10 children and a big farm to take care of.
And so the oldest son conducted the farm, and when my father was married, he became the first rural letter carrier in Westboro, and he served in 30 years as a letter carrier.
Oh, isn't that something?
Then he peddled milk also at the same time, and he used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, milk the cows and peddle the milk, be at the post office at 7 o'clock in the morning and sort the mail and drove a horse around the route. He went from the post office then is where the bank is today.
Which bank?
The Guarantee.
Oh, the Guarantee.
Yeah, that was the post office. And he moved down on East Main Street because he had to live within a mile of the post office. That was a requirement.
For goodness sakes, within a mile?
Within a mile. So, and he lived there. So, my dad lived in Westboro all his life. And he was 93 when he died. So.
Isn't that wonderful?
Then I had one aunt who was Mrs. Gleason, who lived at the corner of Mill Road there, and her husband was grew apples, and they shipped the apples to Europe.
Is that right?
And he had a milk route too. Mr. Gleason had a milk route. Then there was another aunt, Katie, who worked in Fobbs and Newcomb's store, which was on Main Street here. She was the bookkeeper. And there was another aunt, Jenny, who earned her living by doing dressmaking. And she sold for people in Boston as well as local people.
That's interesting.
But the other brothers and sisters were married. And lived about, they all lived in a radius of 20 miles of South Westboro, so you never had a very long vacation. But, and my mother came from Grafton, and it was a matter of probably 3 miles beyond the Fay house where her family lived.
Oh.
On the Grafton Road.
Mm-hmm.
You know where the Mass Pike crosses on the back road to Grafton?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
It was that where all those new houses are now, are all my grandfather Stockwell's farm.
Oh, is that
all
right?
That,
that was
and
all
they
just
had
a
peach. They had orchards. They had peach and apple orchards.
That's amazing that you mentioned them selling apples to Europe.
Yeah, they raised Baldwin apples and they used
that.
To send them.
Yeah.
But, of course, that Mr. Gleason died quite young. I don't remember. I remember seeing the man, but I don't remember. And he was related to the Gleason. It was his father and mother that owned the house where the Inges lived.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. There. Yeah.
Oh,
my father went to school where the, I think it's where, it's right next to where the Porters live up on West Main Street. There was a little, there was a lot of land in there that had the school, district schoolhouse in there.
Was that right?
Yeah.
I know.
It's just between the Porters and the Brady's there. I think the lot is still there. But that was where the schoolhouse was, right in there. That they went to a district school.
I know there's the old brick schoolhouse down on East Main
yeah.
Street that's used as a home
yeah.
now, but that's the only one
no.
that, you know.
The
really
one up there, the one up there was, oh, that's been down for years. Then, of course, the nurse farm, you know, Sugar Nurse's farm.
Mm-hmm.
That connects to the Fay farm up there on West Main Street. And Mrs. Nurse, not Sugar's mother, but his grandmother and my grandmother, Fay, were sisters.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. And then over back towards on the Grafton side, there was a Chamberlain. You know that Marjorie Chamberlain teaches with you?
Yeah.
Marjorie Samuelson.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, her, it would be her great, great grandmother, I guess, lived in the farm that connected on the other side of the Fay family, on Grafton side.
Yeah, and Marge Samuelson is Mrs. Poskett's sister, right?
Yeah.
And Frank Poskett's
mm-hmm.
wife's
yeah.
sister.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know she had mentioned that. Gee, I think, you know, I wonder, you wouldn't have any idea as far as, they were kind of interested as far as what the pay, people's salary would be back then. Would you have any idea at all?
No, but I did have a old town reporter around here somewhere, or rather, that said Miss Annie Fales got $10 a week. And she taught school.
Which?
And, no, I don't know. They used to, another thing from my father's farm, my grandfather's farm, they were from the cattle, they used to bring the milk down here to the end of High Street. There was a milk station right here by this little bridge.
Oh, mm-hmm.
There, and the train used to take the jugs of milk to.
We'd pick it up down
to
there.
To Boston. On the train. No, I don't think they had too much money. I think they had to raise what they, you know.
Had to depend on.
On the garden. And
yeah.
And the like of that.
So.
Must have been quite a undertaking for all little folks like that.
Yes. I wondered as far as recreation, you mentioned the school having the teams. Is there anything else you can remember your family doing? Evidently you visited nearby relatives
for vacation. For a Sunday afternoon, a typical Sunday in the Fay house, my own house, would be, we would go to church in the morning, go to Sunday school in the morning, and we go to, and if you went to church, you went to church at 10 o'clock. And then after the church service was the Sunday school classes. So we got home about 1 o'clock from there. And then we would go with the horse and carriage and drive to my grandmother Faye's house for afternoon for a couple hours. Then we'd have to get home to milk the cows and feed the chickens. That was a typical Sunday. And another, we were laughing just the other night about, we were sitting outside the house and watching the cars go by, just sitting in the backyard. And I said to my sister, I said, remember what we used to do on a Sunday afternoon? We'd sit beside the house with a paper and pencil and write the numbers, try to get the numbers on the automobiles as they went by. Of course, there were a few and far between, but I guess we wouldn't have much chance now. But as far as Sunday went, Sunday was, well, you had nothing outside of church
mm-hmm.
or visiting.
Strictly a family.
A family day.
Mm-hmm.
And as for evenings, why, well, you just stayed home and you didn't go anyplace. Everything was done within the family. You stayed home, played games and made puzzles. If you had anybody mm-hmm. in, why, if you had the good fortune to have a piano, you might sing around the piano, but otherwise than that, there certainly wasn't anything very alarming to do. You wouldn't think again. And the big event in the year would be one trip to Worcester on the trolley car for school vacation.
That would be something you really look forward to.
Yes. You'd either, and if you went on the Boston-Worcester, you would wait until it was the summertime so you could run and ride on the very front seat of the open car. You remember the open cars, don't you?
Yes, I can remember riding in the trolleys.
Yeah.
So.
But on the Boston Worcester course, they went faster than they did. But going up here through Grafton, up this way, you went over a trestle. There was a trestle up. That was quite special, you know. But it wasn't very long. It was on the other side of Grafton where it went across the end of Quinsigan.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be a trestle. But that was the event of the season. Yeah. But and then, of course, there were different groups within the town of older people who would put a play on. You know, not real fancy plays like they, not musicals, but more.
Now, there's a play down at the Historical Society, and I think it's written by that,
Alice Gilmore?
It might be.
She
Little
wrote
Miss
one,
Westboro.
I remember. I think it was for the 150th anniversary or something.
It was Little, I think it was Little Miss Westboro.
It was about Westboro, and it was given in the Congregational Church, that one was, but, no, but they had shows like, I can't think of the names of them now, but I remember once in a while we'd find a program around where different ones that we knew had been in a
play.
They get them from those Baker Company, isn't it, that you get the plays?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think they were that type of play, you know. But as I say, there just was no activity on Sunday. other than visiting people.
During the summer, would you go swimming at all?
Oh, goodness, no.
No. I wondered if...
I guess I never watched... I know I didn't, anyway. Once in a great while I went. But my first experience in swimming was with a hand-me-down bathing suit that had... We wore stockings and high shoes, and we had pleated bloomers, and with a kind of a sailor-like short dress over the top of the bloomers to go swimming. If you ever got wet, you could never get
sink.
No, I and had just the boys went swimming, not many girls went swimming.
It wasn't a very feminine thing to do.
Oh, no. No. It certainly wasn't. Oh, dear. But, no, we would have picnics, but it'd be either with your neighbors. You'd take your little lunch basket, maybe, and go with the neighbor's kids and sit under the shade tree and have a sandwich or something like that. But nothing very exciting. The only thing that we used to like to go to Chauncey. By the time I got in high school, Chauncey Park, they had a big pavilion there, of course, and there was a movie house and all there. Well, it was a screen, and then it was a sort of an open affair. The building had long benches on the inside. You could sit and see this. But there was always a Chinese picnic. The Chinese people used to come out from Boston on the Boston-Worcester trolleys.
To Chauncey?
To Chauncey every year. That was one big event. And then the Grange, State Granges, quite often had their activities there too. They would have a field day, State Grange Field Day, and it would be, the regular run of events like races, running races, and horseshoe throwing, and then they would have a speaker and band concert, and of course the pavilion would be open for dances.
The Grange, was that very active?
Oh yes, it was very active in those times, because with the Grange, the whole family always went.
Because so it wasn't something that your mother and father went off to and you stayed home.
Their mother and father would go, and then anyone could join when they got to be 14 at that time. And so we always, whole families would join. So that still was a family affair, you see, but they were families that went to Grange. And they would have the Grange fairs and dances. They had dances in Grange Hall. We put on shows and all like that.
So you think probably a lot more people in town belong to that?
Yes.
They
used to have a very large organization to what we do now.
So.
But that was
Well,
the
it's still
idea.
Active, you know.
That was the idea of it, you see. The whole family could go. And they would have one night, they called Children's Night, when the children performed. And then we always had the refreshments, of course, for the kids and all. Then they would have the adult meetings. Some of the meetings would be afternoon meetings. They'd have a sewing club, something like that. And then there was the Eastern Star and the Masons are old, too. They were active. I never knew anything about the Knights because I didn't have anybody connection in that guy. But I think they've been quite a late old organization too.
Is there anything? Did your family ever go to town meetings or?
Oh yes,
take,
of course. My father was a selectman.
So they
They
were active in town that way.
The men folks were active. Of course, the women didn't go very often. The men folks went. My father was. My brother wasn't so interested in it. He had the milk room too. But Dad was a selectman for, I think it's one whole term and a half of another, I think. He filled out for one, someone, I forget whether, what happened, but anyway, he filled out an unexpired term and then he was in for one whole term.
Did he like being a selectman? He seemed to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I think he liked being a selectman very much. But he, like everyone else, found that there were things that you wanted to do, that there was rules and regulations you had to follow. But yes, he enjoyed it. But he didn't do that until after he retired from the mailroom. Mm-hmm. Because, well, at that time they didn't. The civil service people weren't supposed to enter into politics in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's changed now.
Do you remember anything when they started in with this women's suffrage and?
No, I don't.
No, don't remember anything.
No, I don't remember that.
Anything about that? I wondered if.
No, that wasn't up
if
my.
If that had any great effect on the town or not.
No. No, I don't remember anything about
it. Couldn't have been earth-shaking if you don't remember anything.
No,
about
I don't
it.
Remember anything about it. The about the only woman I ever remember holding an office was Mrs. Baron Mason. Sarah Mason was on the school committee at one time. But that's comparatively recent that she was on. But I really don't remember any other lady being on. Molly Sill, of course, her. Very recently, Molly Baker.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I.
But Sarah Mason must have been. Well, she must have been. Maybe that's 40 years ago, 34, 30 years ago. I guess that she was on, but I don't remember anything about anybody else.
But women more or less just kind of stayed.
You let them in.
Stayed away from town meetings.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
Which probably was a very good workable.
Well, they had all the work to do.
Solution. I really don't know. As far you know, if there's anything else, if there's anything you remember about the Lyman School or.
Well, the Lyman School always had a very fine exhibit of their work every 4th of July, of the work that the boys did.
Mm-hmm.
They, of course, they had a manual training class there. They showed the work that they had done. They had a leather, well, it was making, I don't know whether they made the shoes, but they made parts of shoes anyway, and then they trained them in what else they have? Ironwork. And they taught them how to shoe horses up there too at one time.
So they gave them, you know, some type of vocation.
It was much more like the vocational school
mm-hmm.
that the communities have now. That's what Lyman School was when I was a kid. And then they had this open day when the townspeople or anybody who wanted to could go to see their exhibit. They had fireworks in the evening
mm-hmm.
for the boys. And the boys from Lyman School always, they came to the Congregational Church. They marched down on Sunday mornings and came to the Congregational Church and sat in the balconies.
Is that right? That was something they were expected
mm-hmm.
to do.
I don't remember whether they went to the other churches too or not, but they went, and I know they came to the Congregational Church. And yes, their schools really taught the kids something up there then. And I don't remember too many runaways at that time.
I can remember Jacques Gibault before he died telling us how, you know, he used to be threatened with that, you know, if he didn't behave,
yeah.
he would be sent. To Lyman School.
I suppose there were quite a few boys in Westboro who heard the same threat.
There was a Mr. Keeler up there. Mr. Coffeen was there. He was there for years as the superintendent, and then Mr. Keeler was the superintendent. But what I mean, I think as a whole, the school was conducted on a much different plan than it is the last of what being here. Mm-hmm. They got to the point they didn't think the boys should do anything.
Because they used to have quite an active farm.
Yes,
up there.
They had a farm. Yes, they tended the farm they had to raise their own vegetables, and they had their own cows and pigs and hens and like, but it wasn't, but anyway, somebody along the line thought the boys shouldn't do it, so.
Which is kind of too bad, because the way it was before, after they had been there a few years, they did know some type of trade that they could work at.
No, it got just a house to keep them in, finally. No, they used to have some very nice training up there. Mr. LaSalle was the manual training teacher. And, Mr. Bowler was the iron man. I can't think of the other people. I didn't know them too well, but some of them I knew.
That was nice, where they were kept busy and they were, you know, at the same time they were being taught something.
Exactly.
So, well, Chief really supplied an awful lot of information, isn't there? A lot of things that I haven't heard about before.
Too bad Chauncey. And Chauncey Park used to have a steamer down there on the pond. A little motorboat with a little roof on. Mr. Garner used to have, and you could sail around the lake for 10 cents, I think. And there was a canoe house, you know, where there was one canoe house towards the state hospital, and there was another canoe house back here where the bathing beach is now. Of course, there was a big ice house there, too. The ice house was over towards Forbes's, because they used to cut ice there in the wintertime.
Oh, uh-huh.
Put the ice in.
So you could go down there and, would you rent a canoe?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, you could go rent a canoe.
Rent a canoe and go out.
That was pretty exciting, you know.
I imagine it would be. Now, when you rented the canoe, you know, you obviously wouldn't know how to swim. Did they have life preservers? Or?
I don't remember any more than the canoe, and the paddles, and the cushions, that's all.
I just wondered, you know, we're so conscious now of life preservers.
Yes, there were no lifeguards or anything like that.
So, if you...
Not very often.
Happened to tip over, you just had to hope that you could grab the canoe.
Yes, they had quite a lot of canoes there at one time.
Did the children go ice skating in the winter at all?
Well, I don't remember whether they went to Chauncey or not, but there was a place called Forty, and that's right in back of Julio's there.
Yeah, there's a little pond.
There was a pond down there we called Forty. And they used to go in there, and then of course they used to go down to Mary Foster's down Potter's Pond. There, ice skating. Mm-hmm. But I really don't know. I didn't get out to go down to Chauncey anyway. I don't. Maybe other people did, but I never knew about it down there. Because of course they cut the ice down there. So Mr. Tant used to cut ice, and they cut ice at Hawker too.
And then they would store that ice.
Yeah, in these big barns, like put the sawdust on, put the ice in, put the sawdust on it.
That always amazes me, and it would last through the summer.
It would last into the summer. Mm-hmm. The ice man used to come out.
You take a few days like this, and you figure no ice could last.
And you put it in the old type of refrigerator, and wrap a piece of paper around it to keep it a little longer. No. Of course, at the Chauncey Park, where they have the dance hall, was they used to have all the big bands, like McAnally's, and There was Hardy's Orchestra. Well, there were big orchestras for the at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They used to come. They dance every night in the week.
Is that right? Not just weekends. It was.
Yeah, the cars. Of course, the trolley cars would go to Marlboro. See, and then the Westport, and then you could come from Worcester. You see, either Boston, Worcester, mm-hmm. or the track that went through town. There used to be crowds.
That's really something.
Yeah.
So.
Certainly was. It was a very pretty park, really. And it was a nice building, and there was a restaurant there. Not a restaurant, as we know restaurants today, mm-hmm. but it was nice for that time. And they had some bowling alleys, too.
That, so you could go bowling or rent a canoe and hope it wouldn't tip over.
Yep, rent your boat. Mm-hmm. Do that for a while, then you can come up and bowl, shoot pool. There's a pool room there. Then on very special occasions, they would have movies. I don't think there ever was any movie there that had sound with it. I think they're all silent movies. I don't believe it lasted after the sound pictures came in.
And when someone played the piano, you always see in the movies nowadays.
And better get it on there, but Alan Massey used to do that.
Is that right?
Because we had movies in the town hall.
Mm-hmm.
She used to play for the Saturday movies in the town hall.
So, oh, that's good. We'll get that on there. That's something you wouldn't want to have forgotten. Well, that's a, you know, I thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Very welcome. I'm sure
really
it's not
been,
very...
Oh, it's really been very, very interesting. This is Bev Dirksen, and this concludes my interview with Rachel Ford on High Street. The interview took place on June 22nd, 1976.